I'm recording that so that people at home can hear the answer as well. Okay, the final I post 1 week before it's due, and I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, it is due the 17th.
Oh, it's the 17th, okay.
I think that's the date that it's the 17th. It could be the 19th. It's either the Tuesday or the Thursday. I think it's the 17th. So that means that I post it 1 week ahead of time, which means I post it on the 10th. And you have a week to do it. It is going to take you longer than 2 hours. Okay? Unless you happen to be, never have to look anything up and can answer everything immediately without any checking, then you might be able to do it in 2 hours. But since it's an open book exam, I figure I get all the study time. So you don't have to study for it, because you're just gonna study as you do it. So the study time is mine. I think so, but you know.
Plus all your homework is taking me over 2 hours, so.
Well, it's supposed to be 3 to 4 hours, I think it is, per class, or something like that. But the problem is, it's very hard to gauge, because if you do it right, and don't have that comma that's missing, or that parenthesis that's floating around, then it takes a lot less time. But you can spend 2 hours chasing down a comma.
Oh, yes.
And then you get into problems.
Oh, I agree.
So anyway, the last week of classes, which is the week of the 9th, okay, unless something goes wrong, as in we get a major snowstorm, or I get so sick I'm out for a week or something like that, that last week is open labs. So that you can, that last week is just catch-up time and open labs. And also this Thursday is an open lab. So you can come in this Thursday anytime between 9:30 and 5 and work to get caught up. So that's an open lab as well, okay? Because we're doing well. I don't do that until I'm sure I'm gonna be able to cover the material that I need to cover, but I'm sure, so we can have some extra time.
Okay.
Pardon me? I didn't hear you.
Do we have class on Thanksgiving?
Absolutely. No. No, the school is closed on Thanksgiving.
Unless you want to come, right? Right.
Well, I'm going to be in New York, so I guess I can do it long distance, but no, Thanksgiving is a day off.
Yay.
And the day after Thanksgiving is a day off.
Well, we
would get
the class
after that. That's true. That's true.
So it's a long weekend.
What?
It's a long weekend.
It's a catch-up weekend.
Oh, great.
I still have my JavaScript. Yeah, that's it.
So anyway, this Thursday is an open lab to get caught up. And then the last week of classes is an open lab. So both days are open labs. I tend to put the intensity at the beginning of the course and try to lighten up by the end of the course so that you have time to get stuff done. So I will be posting a Visual Basic assignment after today because we'll get far enough into that. And there will be a couple of other things between now and the end, but we're really phasing down now already. Because we've covered a lot of material and you've done a lot of stuff, so and we haven't had any major snowstorms, so we're in good shape, huh? Don't jinx it, right? That's usually a spring problem, actually, not here, but every once in a while you get one in early December.
Well, with New England weather, you never know.
That's right. So that's why I say that's my current plan, but if we get the major blizzard of the season, then obviously my plan goes down the tubes. So, the final we think is the 17th. The week of the 9th will be open lab. Things are due to me by the last weekday of classes. And the last day of classes for us will be the 12th. Okay? I will take a couple of things after the last day, through that last weekend. But if you pass in your whole semester's worth of work, I will carefully put it aside and get to it when I get to it. Since what you did was put it aside and get to it when you got to it, I figure I get the same luxury. Okay? So anyway, that's what it is. Homework is due by the last day of classes, which is the 12th, but that week is off. If it comes in the 13th and 14th, a couple of things, that's fine. I just don't want to be deluged with things after that, because then we go into finals, okay? I also would fix the things that I have sent back to you. And that's what you can do, especially in the open labs, is if you're having trouble fixing something, you can come into the open lab and we can try to help you, especially the all-day labs. You can be here during that.
Will you be here?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, the deal is that in this world, you have to get it right. If you're writing a payroll program and oops, you forgot to multiply instead of, or you added instead of multiplying, you don't mind getting a bad paycheck this week, do you? No. That is not a problem. Well, you know, in this world it is a problem. So things have to be right, huh?
I said in your class it's a problem too, because I keep getting the same thing back.
Ask questions. Okay, so that's our schedule for the rest of the semester. So now we're going to go back and look at Visual Basic. So the next thing I want to look at, we looked at user input last time. Actually, I think I'll just go in. Okay, so user input we looked at last time. I'm going to look at that again briefly, and then we will move on. So this one, again, I have a series of work areas that I've set up. And I've dimmed them as work hours as decimal, work pay per hour as decimal, and work gross pay as decimal. So that means that I can have decimals. If I put them as an integer, then I have to only have whole numbers. But these allow me to have decimals. Then I said, okay, now I'm going to put up an input box, which is a pop-up. And when I put up the input box, it's going to say enter hours work, comma, hours. Those are the two kind of headings that will be on it. And there'll be a box that I can fill in. And when I fill it in, it goes into either work hours or the second one in work pay per hour. So now I have those two work areas. I can multiply them together and store the answer in work gross pay. And then I want to put it out on the form. Right now it's just in a memory variable. Nobody else can see it. In fact, nobody can see it. So I want to take it and put it onto the form. So I'm putting it into a text box. But I decided that in the process of putting it in, I would like to format it as currency. So therefore, it will format it and put in dollar signs and commas and all that good stuff. So if I run this, so I put in my name, Anne. And then it says click here, because I'm not doing anything else. Quiet, please. So I'm saying click here, and it says enter the hours worked, and so I'm entering 40. Okay? And quiet, please. And then I said okay. And then I said enter the pay per hour, so I enter 50. And I say okay. And it comes back and tells me that I made $2,000.
Wow.
Okay, so it's multiplying the 40 times the 50.
What job is that?
Actually in this field?
No, I don't know.
Because this is only, what, a little bit over 100. So click here and you come back with that. Yeah. I have a load of ex-students that are making six figures. That have gotten back to me and, you know, told me that they're in the six-figure category now.
My boss, he owns his own IT company, and he makes well over that.
Right.
I thought it's better to work for yourself.
It can work both ways. It's a lot of work. My husband for a while had his own company, and we didn't see a lot of him during that time.
Yeah,
when he worked for a company, we saw a lot more of him. Okay. So now the next thing I want to look at, if anybody has any questions, by the way, ask them now. And then I'll move on to the next thing, yeah.
I don't know where you're at.
This one was called user input. It's my examples.
Oh, it's on your page?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's one of the examples, okay? So the next example that I'm going to have you open is going to be, and again, the way I did this, do you want to stop debugging? Yes. Okay. The way I did this is these are my examples. You can download them and unzip them, and then you can look at them. Okay? I've got them downloaded and unzipped on one of my drives, so I can just now go to the drive and get it because I've already downloaded them and unzipped them, and I suggested that you do the same. Because if you download them and unzip them, then they're ready to work with. Okay? So the next one I'm going to look at is loops while. And look at how you can do loops. Because remember we said about programming. What programming brings to the table is I need sequence, I need selection, which is ifs, and we've looked at ifs, and I need repetition, which is loops. And so I'm going to go into loops. Now, once I've got this unzipped, I can just click on it and open the one that has the little 10 on it. Okay, that has an SLN extension if you're seeing extensions. So I can just open this one and it opens Visual Studio for me. Okay. So there is Visual Studio, and it has opened it for me. If the form doesn't show, which my form doesn't show, I can just double-click on the form over there under Solution Explorer, and the form comes up. Okay? So in this form, I've got a couple of different types of loops. So if I click on it any place, it will come over and it brings up the code, okay? So I can click on it and bring up the code. So here I have defined two memory variables, but I define them up here right under public class, which means that they are global. Which means that all of the procedures can see them. So I can use those in any procedure, okay? If I define them within a procedure, then they're local. And if they're local, that means they can only, okay, they can only be used in that procedure. Local is only used in the procedure, whereas global can be used in any procedure. So I've got a series of loops, and there are others, and I made the comment on there about what some of the others are. Again, remember that if you put a single quote in front of a line, it becomes a comment. So you can put in comments, and you can put in other options of ways you might like to handle something. So the first one is a do while. Okay, and it's written as do while. So I said do while, and then I have my condition. So I'm saying do while work count is less than or equal to text how many. But text how many was put up on the form, and everything put up on the form is in string format. So if I wanted to think of it as a number, I have to tell it to convert it to a number. So I'm saying here, while work count is less than or equal to what was in text how many converted over to an integer. Yeah. Pardon? Yours didn't open. Somebody's had to not open. Okay, you didn't unzip it. You have to go through the two steps of downloading it and unzipping it. With the extract all.
The red, where's the extract? Yep, and then extract all. And then next. Okay, now double click it, and then now open that. There we go.
Ta-da. Yeah, no, it somehow it's a lot less clear that you have to unzip stuff now than it used to be.
Sometimes if you try to open something, it'll tell you, well, like, some things may not run correctly. Would you like to extract all or just sometimes?
Right.
But not always.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago, I thought it was a lot clearer that I had to unzip things than now. It kind of gives you the impression that you're all set and ready to go when you're not. It's lying. Okay. So anyway, so that is my do while. And the structure of it is I have a do while, and loop means it's ended. That means it's the end of the do while. Okay, so in JavaScript, I would have put curly braces around this to tell where the code began and where it ended. Here, I tell the do while, tells it where it began, the loop tells where it ended. And so I've got that information there. Okay, so here what I just want to do is take the text amount and add it to the work total, and then I am going to add one to account, and I'm doing it as long as the count says how many. This is a pretty worthless routine, but it shows the differences in the loops. Okay, so how many times do I want to add? I want to add 5 times. How much do I want to add? 12. And so when I hit process, it gives me 60, because it essentially added 12 5 times. Okay, so it's giving me 60. So it went through the loop, and the first time it did the add and added one to count, and it keeps going through, and I'm doing it while count is less than or equal to how many, and I put the how many in there as 5. So I keep doing it, okay, 5 times, and adding the 12. So that's the do while. Okay. Now the next one, if you look down, is an until. And so I'm going to run that one. And so this one again, I'll do five times and I'll do 12. And now I'm going to click the until button. And only I put in 112. So it added 112 five times. So I've got 560. Okay? But it did what I told it to do. It added 112 five times. Okay? So that is the until. Now notice there's a note on both of them that says actually there's a while that can test before and after, and there is a do until that can test before and after. So I can actually write this as a do until at the top or at the bottom, but people tend to use the until down at the bottom. So this one is written as just do, and then it says loop until word count is greater than. So notice the difference between these. This one said do while word count is less than or equal to. And this one says do until word count is greater than. Okay? So until is looking for what gets me out. While is looking for what keeps me in. Do it while this. That's what keeps me doing the loop. Do until is what gets me out of the loop. Okay? So the until is looking for what gets me out. And the while is looking for what keeps me in. So those are two different styles that you can use. Okay, which one is always going to do it once?
Keep me in.
Hmm?
Keep me in.
Okay, let's try them and see. Okay, if I say zero times, or actually, let me just get out. Okay, so how many times do I want to do it? Zero times. And I want to add 12. And I hit the until, it does it. Okay? Because with the loop at the bottom, with the discussion, with the decision making at the bottom, it goes through and does it, and then checks to see if it should get out. So it does it there, okay? Now what about if I, get out of this and start again and put the 0 and the 12 and hit process, I just have 0. Because this one checks before it does anything, and 0 is going to get me out, and so it checks before I do things. Okay, so it doesn't do it at all. It doesn't do anything. And so I get out immediately. It never enters the loop. Okay, the third loop is the for loop. Okay? So the for loop starts out and says, for word count equal 1, 2, text how many dot text, step 1. So this means, this is where it starts. This is where it ends. And this is how much it increments. This is the end condition. OK? Okay, so the for loop puts them all within the for statement, whereas in the others, I have them more separated out. Okay? So step one means add one to it. If I put in step two, it means every time you go through, add two. If I put step three, it means every time you go through, add three. So if I want to do it in increments of add two, add two, add two, I can make that step two. Okay? And I can have the starting point, whatever I want it to be, and I can have the end point, whatever I want it to be. Okay? Work count, I actually start at one up in the global area, and so that's why it started at one in both of these. Because if I restart, it resets word count to one. If I don't restart, then it doesn't set word count to one. Okay, so if I do the for loop, and I say do it five times, and make it 12, and then hit four, it gives me the 60. Okay. Whoops. All right, why am I not getting rid of my ink? Smart, clear ink. That's what I thought I clicked on. Okay, now let's try this and not erase, not restart rather. If I start this and I put in 5 and I put in 12 and I hit process, I get 60. Okay? Then if I hit the until, I get 72. So when I hit the until once, I got 72. Why did that happen? And if I hit it again, the until again, it goes up to 84. Can anybody figure out why that happened? It's happening with the until. And what's the condition to get me out of the condition to get me out of the until? There we have it. Okay, it's if word count is greater than how many. Well, word count is greater because I did it up at the top. Okay, so I went through the while loop and I added to word count. And so word count, I said do it while word count is less than or equal to text how many. So when word count got to 6, I got out. When word count was 5, I stayed there. When word count got to 6, I got out. But then I clicked down here and asked it to do the do loop. And so it did it, but it is not resetting word count because I didn't restart the program. So word count is staying at 6, but the do doesn't test until the bottom, so it goes in and adds 12 to word total and adds 1 to word count. And then when it checks, word count is greater than 5, and so it gets out. So what I would have to do to make this work correctly is reset word count, okay? Setting it up here at the top works just fine when I restart the program every time, because when I reset the program, it sets word count to 1, and it sets word total to 0. But if I don't restart the program, then it keeps what was in word count. And actually, when I got out of here, were total was 60. So it keeps what's there and added the 12 to 60 and added the one to work out. Okay? So therefore, the total kept increasing and work count kept increasing, okay? So the way to handle that problem is to come over here and inside there set work count equal to one and set work total equal to zero. And if I set those right in here before I start the do loop, then it will be just fine. But I have to make that setting, okay, because otherwise it will stay with what it got, okay? So, I mean, in the real world, you'd never be doing the same thing using three different loops, but I am, and so I should be aware that that will cause a problem. Okay, I want you to bring up one of the programs that you've been working on and add a loop to it to do something. Your loop can be as sophisticated as mine. Okay? Add some kind of a loop to have it do something. Yep. And you can choose which kind of loop you want to use.
Thank you.
put in a loop of some kind and get it working. You're all set. Now I just need to I mean, I sent them all back to you, so you should have them all in your inbox. Pardon me? I still didn't hear you. Yeah. Because I've sent all the homework, I'm back some. About 2 weeks ago, I was pretty much caught up, but now I'm clogged up again. But if I'm not getting them, okay, they're supposed to be sending them to p.grosser@rcn.com. You are. p.grosser@rcn.com. p.grosser@rcn.com. Okay, I'm got a bunch of stuff to send back, but it's not that much. And about 2 weeks ago, I was all caught up. And so if you haven't been getting stuff back, it's because I haven't been receiving it. If I haven't been receiving it, you haven't gotten grades. So therefore, okay, if you and I are not corresponding, it's a problem. And it's not a big problem as long as you send them to me. The problem with my not getting them is I therefore am not giving you feedback as to whether things are right or wrong. Okay? But this weekend I'm not doing much of anything, so send me a bunch of stuff. Okay? All right, so yeah. They asked if I haven't corrected. I'm not even sure I'm going to. I may just check it off and send you the solutions because it's a pain in the neck to correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because
I keep putting those off.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's the only response I didn't get.
Okay, yeah, and I'm avoiding those. Okay? They're a pain in the neck to correct. All those series of ones and zeros, they're a pain in the neck to correct. So sometimes if I run out of time, I just check them off, which means you get a fine grade on them. And I just don't correct them. I send out the solution.
Just a quick question about that, Kim. What is the as-double score?
Say that again?
What is the as-double score?
That's another kind of way of putting decimal. Good point.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You can put decimal or you can put double. When you are declaring something as a decimal, you can put double or you can put decimal. Okay, and then you can also have integer. And double also allows very large things. Okay, so hopefully you managed to get a loop working. So now I'm going to close the solution, and it comes back and it says open a project or a solution or create a new project. I want to open one. So I'm clicking on that, and I'm going to go and open inside VBF 111. There is one called My First If. And I want to open First If. Okay, so this again is looking at an if statement. So I started out and I said, okay, dim work diff as an integer. And then I said, work diff is going to be the difference between what I entered into a form called text budget, the spike called text budget, minus text spent. If work difference is greater than 1,000, then I put out one message. Otherwise, I put out a different message. Okay? So that is a basic if else. So if I run this, okay, I put in the department number, department 12. The budget is 50,000. I have spent 35,000. So I am going to click on check, and it comes back and tells me 1,500 is what you have to spend. Okay, so it did the calculation. It checked, it was greater than 1,000, so it told me 1,500 concatenated with, and I can use that ampersand to concatenate. Concatenated with is what you have to spend. So I have frequently used the plus sign to concatenate. I can also use the and sign. Okay? Then I have the second one, okay? And that one has an embedded if. So if department equals CI, then I am going to check the budget. Else, I'm going to say not the CI department. So I only want to check the budget if it's the CI department, yeah.
Do you have a marker or a Sharpie by chance?
I only have the ones that work here.
Thank you, got it.
Okay, so over here, with the double if statement, I'm saying, first of all, is the department CI? If the department is CI, then I'm asking, is the budget greater than 5,000? And if the budget's greater than 5,000, I am telling them that basically I'm going to put out the same. It will not change, so it's going to be the same. If I get a no to this, then I am going to put out, you can request an increase. Okay. Then the end if closes these two. So the end if closes those two. And then I go back to the other else and notice how it's nicely lined up under the if. And I can put in the not CI message. Okay, so there I've got an embedded if statement, an if within an if. So if it is CI, then I ask about the budget. If it's not CI, I don't care. So I'm getting rid of them if it's not CI. I'm just saying not CI. If it is CI, then I check the budget and I either say your budget's going to be the same oh, your budget's going to increase by 10%, or can increase by 10%. Okay? So if I run this, okay, and I put in Department 1-2, the budget is 6,000, and I spent 2,000, what am I going to get if I click on this? That's right, not CI. Okay, because the department's 12. Wait a minute, I'm checking to see if the department's CI. Okay, 12 is not CI, so it's going to go over here and say not CI. Okay, so if I click on another check, I'm going to see not the CI department. Okay. Now, if I change this to CI, now what am I going to see?
Same.
Right. Your budget will not change. It's going to be the same because it is CI and the budget is 6,000, which is greater than 5,000, so it's going to say same. Okay. If I change this to 3,000, now what is it going to say? Okay, guys. Huh? What is it going to say? I didn't hear you. Somebody said it, but I missed it.
Increase.
So I click here, you can increase of 10%, okay? So if you follow the code or follow the flowchart, you see the message that you're gonna see, okay? Okay, so now let's look at something else with this, where I would like you to write the code, bring up this program and write the code. I want CI and either budget greater than 10,000 or what's the other thing that I have spent? Greater than budget. Okay. So now I want to put in that if statement. So take this program and add another button and have that other button, when you click on it, do that. Okay, so I want to add a third button to this. Good question. Form first, but it is located inside another directory. So if you look at it, nope, that's not it. Inside VBF111 CIS120, there is one they called first if, and it's first if. So you have to download the VBF111 and go through unloading that. Okay, and it's first if. and I want you to add one more thing to it. Another button, so that that button will have that if statement in it. So you want CI in either the budget greater than 10,000 or spent greater than the budget. So I'm going to go back to my form, and you've got to add it on the button, right? And then you've got to write the code that goes with it. So you have to add another button here and then come over and write the code that goes with it.
Besides 10,000, what do we need?
Mm-hmm.
Besides the budget being greater than 10,000, what do we need?
Oh, spent greater than budget. And if you get it done, if you did it with single ifs, try doing it with a compound. And if you did it with a compound, try doing it with single. So that you can try both of those. I'm just putting okay if it meets the criteria. You can do anything you want if it meets the criteria. Okay. So what am I going to put in this next else? Okay. I have the thing that I want to do is I want to ask if it's CI. And if it is CI, then I want to ask, is the budget greater than 10,000? And if it is, I'm putting out OK. And if it's not, then I get one more chance. Is the spent greater than the budget? And if the spent is greater than the budget, then I'm okay. And if it's not, then I am a problem of some kind or whatever. Okay, and problem probably not being the right words, but anyway. Okay, so if it's CI, then I want to ask about the budget. If it's okay, then I'm pretty not okay. Else, what do I want to ask about? If the budget is not greater than 10,000, what do I want to ask about?
Is your spend greater than the budget?
Right. So then I'm saying, if text spent dot text greater than text budget dot text, and for all of these, it would be better to convert them over to numerics when you're doing the comparison with things from the form. Then, okay, text result dot text. Equals okay, else text result dot text equals problem. Okay, and that is the end of this embedded, so I can put and if there, okay? And it is the end of the other embedded, so I can put an end if here. But now I need an else for this one. So I come down and I put an else. Okay? And the else is that text result dot text equals not CI. And then I need to end that if. So I've got the situation, if the text department equals CI, then I ask about the budget. And as I said, on all of these, it would have been better to do the convert. Okay? Convert over to integer. And then I say, if it is, then it's okay. Else, I have a second chance. So this is that classic thing that I've been giving you, where one thing has to be true, and either of two others. Okay, and either of two others. Okay. So that's the if statement that you would have if you did it as a single if. If you wanted to, you could do this as a compound, in which case you would write if text department dot text equals CI and then you're going to have a set of parentheses with an or inside. And basically in there you're going to be asking, is the budget greater than 10,000? The or is spent greater than the budget. So if I have a compound, I can write this as, if the department is CI, and then I have to have the parenthesis. The budget is greater than 10,000. I think I got 100,000 there, but anyway. or spent is greater than budget. So, and I have to have the parentheses, because if I don't have the parentheses, it would look at CI and budget greater than 10,000, or just all by itself, spent greater than budget. Okay, so the parenthesis has to be there, because the parenthesis basically reads in either, and either. And that's what I wanted, is department CI and either of those two things. Did anybody get it successfully working? Well, that's a big no. Take a few more minutes and try to get it successfully working, because I really think it's worth it. Okay. And again, converting all of these to integer. Try the compound one if you don't want to try the broken down into 10 pieces one. Has anybody got it working? You're putting a button on and then just putting the code inside the other button. I will write this out and post it, but I can't very well go in and do it now because then I mess up all the stuff I wrote. So somebody got a racket. So that if they press the button, it will actually do it. That's Moon's working. Does that mean you got it working?
I think so. I just did it as the another click button. I just put the code under that button though.
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
Oh, okay.
Because I wanted to have a third button.
Well, it's basically the second button.
Okay, well, that's fine.
But the code, I think the code's right in. And I just changed it.
Okay, you just changed that. That's fine. Yeah, that was probably the easy way.
Yeah, kind of the easy way.
And you are doing it how?
My brain.
Yeah, right. And I've got three people with the set in.
Oh, do you?
Yep.
How much?
Okay, anybody else think they've got it working? As he just said, if you want to, you can go in and modify this one. It needs a little more modification, which you can go in and make changes to it. But I'd rather have the third button and just have a third button on this that will do it. Okay. And the third button does nothing but this code that I've got here, or just that simple, straightforward code of putting them together as one. Because if you do a compound, then you simply have that one statement there. Okay? And then if you have the one statement, you would have to change this. If you put the one statement, I should have mentioned this, you would then change this to problem. So that they both are problem, because you can't have different things with a compound. Okay, so you can just change those both to say problem if you do a compound. So if you do the compound, you have to have both of them say the same message, and problem is a fine message to say. Okay. But when you do them in single if statements, you don't have to do that. So given my choice, I put this in a compound. It's a lot less writing. Okay. Anybody got any questions? Okay. Yeah.
I don't think I did it right because it wasn't a whole lot of cards. It's just a word flow. Fuck it. No, I know it isn't.
First place, you have to put
it
in. Because you're not putting the crowd or something. Yeah, something.
No, you've got to add a button. Okay. You've got to add a button.
Is it room 10
now? Yeah, I know. Time flies by when you have fun. Hey.
Okay, guess we won't be doing the next thing I was going to do. Oh, yeah, it does say 12:10. What do you know?
Did you think I was lying?
Yeah, thought the clock was lying, actually. Okay, so we've I will put this together and post it so that you can see the solution or a solution to it. But again, what you do is you go to the form, you make a button. Okay, it's as simple as that. You go to the form, you make a button. Then when you double click on the button, it brings up the code and it brings up the private sub and the sub, and you can then write your code inside. But you've got, but your code has to be inside an event, because when you click on the event, you want that code to be executed. So it has to be inside an event. You're the winner in this class, really. Okay.